So I'm going to teach tonight a message that applies to adults and teenagers. And so, you know, you'll be able to get something out of this. It's called A Doorway to Destiny. Doorway to Destiny. And young people, many times you've had these questions about your life. Who am I going to marry? When I grow up, what kind of work will I be doing? Where am I going to live? How much money am I going to make? What is God's will for my life? And what if God's plan is different than my plan? And today I want to address us, all of us tonight, Jeremiah 29:11, where the Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. When you are with God, there is a future and a hope. His plans for your life are good. Can I just be honest with you here? I'm always honest with you, but I guess just be frank. I notice something about myself as a dad, and sometimes I kind of, when I'm being a little goofy, I'll make fun of kids, you know, being a parent, that kind of thing. But at the end of the day, being a father is one of the greatest joys of my life. Absolutely. I can't tell you how much I enjoy it. And I find myself, and my kids are going to think, oh, Dad's creepy. But I find myself, I can't take my eyes off my kids sometimes. Like, I just want to see them. I just want to know what they're doing. I just want to know. And it's like everything they do is important to me, whether it's when they were in school, you know, whether it was playing a sport or doing something academic or who their friends are. Every detail of their lives is so important to me. Everything. And even now that they're adults, I find myself, I try not to be that dad that's you know, hovering over them as adults and give them space and freedom and those type of things. But man, you just want a glimpse into what they're doing. What's your day like? What's you know, how was work today? And why? You just love them to pieces. And I've just never had a single thought in my entire parenting career of, boy, I sure do hope my kids suffer. You know, I suffered. I went through hell as a kid. Some of you did too. I grew up poor. I don't want my kids to have to do that. I don't want my kids to have to go through having parents that you know, fight and all sorts of things. I don't want that for my kids, you know. I want good things for my kids. I want my kids to prosper. I want my kids to do well academically. I want them to do well relationally. I want them to do well in every area of life. And I love my kids. And Jesus said in Matthew 7, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father want to give good gifts to you? Your God loves you. So when we hear, I know the plans that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Just think, as much as you love your natural born kids, your natural kids, how much more does God love you? I've never said, man, I hope my kids have to go through, I'm going to go beat my wife just so they can go figure out what that's like. Man, when we were getting married, I read every book under the sun on marriage because I was not about to do that again. I was not about to repeat my parents' mistakes. You know that? I wanted my kids to have a better life. And, you know, when God the Father looks at you, and sometimes there's this mentality in the church that, well, God just wants us to suffer all the time. You know, it's Jesus suffered already. Jesus took the suffering, man. Jesus suffered. I'm not saying we'll never go through a hard time. We will, but man, the Father's not up in heaven, man. Man, I just want to put somebody on a cross for a couple hours just so they see how it feels. He already did that. Wow. I mean, well, we're going to have a hard time today. I'm not even off the first scripture. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. You know, whether you, no matter what stage of life you're in, young, medium, not so young, the Lord knew you before you were ever born. and he had a plan for your life. In John 10:10, the thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus Christ said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Tonight, I want to talk to you just a little bit that God's will for our lives is good. His plans for us are good. And I want to talk to you about what I call doorways to destiny. And I want to make sure that as I'm ministering, I'm speaking this in a way that our young people are going to be able to incorporate this into their lives. So number one, know what time it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 tells us there's a time for everything under the sun. Okay, there's times to sow, times to reap, times to have peace, times to have war, and it goes on this big long list. There's a time for everything. And all of us need to be cognitive of the season of life we're in. And Dr. Summerall taught there's three basic seasons of life, and I know there's some exceptions, but he said this is a generality, three basic seasons of life. He said from 0 to 30 is your time to get, to become. Then from 30 to 60 is your time to do, to leave your mark. And then from 60 and above is your time to give back and to mentor and to leave your impact in those that are entrusted to you that are coming up behind you. And for our young people, this is your time to get. This is your time to learn, to study, to pray. This is your time to learn faith, work ethic, character, integrity, education, and special skills. Young people, I know that if I asked you, every one of you, what kind of person do you want to marry on a scale of 1 to 10, every one of you would say, I want to marry a 10. And that's 10 intellectually, that might be 10 physically, but you want a 10 on every level. But in order to marry a 10, you have to be a 10. And this is your chance. And you're 0 to 30, your time of getting, this is your chance to, you know what? You got to become a 10. You want to have a good job? It's going to require good skills. You want to make money? You have to be worth the money. No one's going to pay you to sit at home and do nothing. Well, the government might, but that's going to change in Jesus' name. Now, as I'm talking to our young people, in our society, and not you, but our society, our young people want the benefits of growing up without the responsibilities of growing up. And our society teaches sex without marriage. Our society teaches an unending supply of media entertainment and the latest technology without the pursuit of wisdom. That's what AI is for, right? Society teaches we want God's blessing without living a disciplined life according to the Word of God. Society teaches we want awesome music, but we don't know how to play an instrument. Society says we want free time, but no work time. Society says we want money, but we don't want to work. Society says we want to have video games that emphasize killing, and yet we want to have an appreciation for the value of human life. You see, we want cool clothes, latest games, coolest phones and tablets, and a car at 16, and no steady job. And folks, that is a recipe for disaster. I want to encourage our young people, prepare yourself now. Paul said to Timothy, study to show yourself approved. And I'm going to be talking in the next few minutes about your doorways to destiny. But this is your season, young people. This is your 0 to 30. This is your getting. This is the time to learn. This is the, look at me. I want you all to look at me. I'm going to go over here. My knee hurts, but I'm still coming over there. I want you to look at me. Young men, I love you. I'm not saying you can't play video games, all right? I'm not saying you can't play video games. But you sitting on your rear end playing video games 3 and 4 hours a day, number one, your testosterone is not developing, okay? What does that mean? It means you're going to have man boobs. Moobs, okay? Number two, it means you're not preparing for your future, okay? Now, there is a crazy thing in this world right now that I never thought would be possible. But there are a few, select few people that have actually somehow made money playing video games. But they are a select group of people. It's like saying, I want to go to the NFL, or I want to go to be a professional basketball player. The odds are not in your favor, okay? But my goodness gracious, this is your time to get. Ladies, this, you know, 5, 6, 8 hours on social media in a day? This is your time to get. This is not your time to scroll mindlessly. And as you do, your attention span is being reduced to 15-second increments. How are we going to learn life-changing facts like history, life-changing things like skills to be a nurse, skills to be an engineer, if we don't have attention span more than 15 seconds? Okay, so this is your season. Look, you're going to get old before you know it, okay? It goes quick. You're going to graduate high school. There's going to be expectations on your life. And every one of you, every single one of you in here is capable. I'm telling you, if you applied yourself, there's not a single one of you that's not worth $100,000 a year by the time you're 30. Not one of you. If you apply yourself, this is your 0 to 30. This is your time to get. If you take the time that you were supposed to be getting and not get, you're going to be 28, 29, and still looking for your purpose in life and wondering why life seems to be passing you by and life is so hard. This is your time to know God. This is your time to study. This is your time to work. Our society has lost its ever-loving mind. Okay. I mean, lost it. Young people, hit the books. I've seen your curriculums. You should be A's and B's. A's and B's. All right? If you're struggling with C's and D's, get a tutor, get someone, get help. Don't go through school struggling. There's help available. This is your time to get 0 to 30. Because by the time you're 30, you locked in. Okay? And there are people that change later in life, but it's 10 times more difficult. And usually there's a lot of heartache that goes with it and a lot of setbacks and a lot of hurts along the way. 0 to 30, your time to get wisdom, find out who you are, find out your purpose. Now, if you're 30 to 60, my age group, this is our time to do. This is our time to work. This is our time to make a difference in our life. Okay? And you know, some of you ladies, you want your husband to be well thought of as a career man, make good money, and bring security, bring home the bacon. That's great. But you have to give him the freedom to do that. What's that mean? You got to stop being so needy. You know, if he's at work and you've texted 7 times and he has not texted you back, it's not because he's cheating on you. It's not because he doesn't love you. It's because he's trying to do a job and not get fired because you like to eat. Amen. You got to free him up and get rid of that clingy and realize this is your time to shine. This is your time to do. And we have softened things up in this world. I like some of the, I like things like air conditioning. I like things like, you know, padded seats to sit in for church. Aren't these chairs nice? If you've ever gone to the third world, you really appreciate these chairs, man. I'm telling you, these are some nice chairs. I'm telling you, just thank God someday. Just, Lord, thank you. Our church has comfortable chairs, especially when Pastor Matt goes long. Hallelujah. But I like the comfortable things. But sometimes our focus is so much on comfort and convenience and worldly things and fleshly things that we don't realize we are called with a purpose and we need to be leaving a mark. We got to develop ourselves in our career. We got to bring home the bacon. We have got to live a life that our kids want to emulate. We have to separate ourselves. Amen. Amen. Be something. And sometimes, let me just share this with you. If you want to be something, it cannot always be contained in a Monday through Friday, 8 hours a day. You're going to find if you want to break through in life, you're going to have at least one season, probably more, where you're going to be working 60, 70 hours a week or more. That is life. And I know that everybody's got all sorts of things, and I understand the things, and I understand you got kids, and you got parents, and you got this, and there's bingo night, and all those things. But ladies and gentlemen, there comes a point. You got to know what God's called you to do, and you do it. And part of that doing is being a provider. Part of that doing is making a nest egg. Part of that doing is becoming something, doing something. Amen. And you're going to have to, I mean, there's just times you're going to work your tail end off. And you say, man, it just feels like all I do is work. Praise God. That's good. Work is good. Then, of course, you've got our 60 and up. Your time is to give back. I understand this these days we have hip grandmas. Not broken hip grandmas, but hip grandmas. Probably have a few broken hip grandmas too. But listen, I don't know if you remember the baptism we had this past Sunday, but there was this whole family that was getting baptized, and I asked them, you know, what happened? Was there somebody praying for you, for your whole family to get baptized today? And they said, yeah, my grandma. Grandma was praying. Look, I'm all for hip grandmas. You want to be hip, you know, you want to dance like Michael Jackson when you're 75, you go for it, okay? Do the moonwalk, all that kind of stuff. But we need grandmas and grandpas mentoring their grandkids. We need grandmas and grandkids being there and praying, and not just praying, but praying your guts out and making a difference. But we got to know the season we're in, praise God. And that season, each season carries a unique responsibility. And if we do well in that season, it promotes us for the next one. Amen. Young people, many of you want the responsibilities, or I'm sorry, the privileges of growing up without the responsibilities of growing up. And I encourage you, stay grounded, stay disciplined, work hard, get it done, and by the time you're 28, 29, 30, and you're making more than six figures, and you know who you are, you're well married, you communicate well, you have a nice car, you live in your own home, and you're not a burden on society, you can come back and thank me, okay? And it's called Matt Nichols Ministries. We take credit card, Visa, MasterCard, all those things. Number two, work opens doors. You want a doorway to destiny. One of the greatest things you can do is be a working person. You know, when I think about people in the Bible, we're going to look at some Old Testament characters tonight, that they had these doorways just magically open. But they weren't magic. You know, anybody can look like a success overnight after 20 years of hard work. You know, in 2010, when we moved over to this building over here, and all of a sudden people started coming, and it looked like, oh my goodness, your church is an overnight success. Where were you the last 8 years? You know, where were you when I was crying my guts out? Where were you when I was working multiple jobs? Andrea's working multiple jobs. But it came all of a sudden after several years of insignificance and going through it, okay? So we love King David, a man after God's own heart. He was an amazing king, a great leader. But when we're introduced to David in the Bible, he was tending sheep. And some other things about David, he was tending sheep in his father's house. He was making his family a living. He was working. He was obeying his parents, obeying his dad, doing what he was supposed to do, being where he was supposed to be. And he wasn't even treated fairly sometimes. I know sometimes we're like, oh, that's not fair. Can I just help you? Sometimes God is not fair. I mean, this is a hard revelation. Sometimes God is not fair. And you may feel like, well, God's not fair. He's got it out for me and everything bad is happening to me. It's a setup. It's a setup. And there's going to be, but because the other side of that equation is, you're going to have times in your life where you're going to go through amazing favor, and it's going to be like, oh my goodness gracious, life's not fair. I've got the favor of God on my life. David was tending sheep. David knew how to play instruments. David could sing. David could write. David was trained in the art of the sling. Now, when we think of slingshot, we think of like Dennis the Menace and a fork and a kind of a rubber band, and you pull back and let it go. That was not what the sling was that David had. It was an actual military grade sling, and it was a long piece of fabric that operated, and it had a little pouch on the end of it, and they would turn it in a circle and make it that thing going over 100 miles an hour in that circle, and then just flip that wrist, and it would launch that stone like a missile. And the Israel army at that time, that was part of their army. They had the slingers. David was a slinger in the Israel army. So this was real. He knew what he was doing. So here he is, 16, 17 years old. He knows how to play an instrument. He knows poetry. He's trusted to take care of his entire dad's sheep, all his family's resources for food, for money. At the age of 16, David is employed by his family and trusted to do these amazing things. That's somebody who took 0 to 30 serious, you see. Elisha, when God called Elisha, he was out plowing his father's field. You know, it's amazing. God calls people who are working. When I worked at CarMax, I was the hiring and firing guy, okay? And my job and hiring commission sales consultants is a tough job. You have to be a salesman, and that's its own unique situation. But you have to convince people that you're going to work for no regular paycheck. You only get paid if you do well. And everybody's saying, well, what happens if I don't do well? Well, you don't get paid. Well, how do I do that? Do well, you know. And we had to hire people. And sometimes during peak seasons, we need 60, 70, 80 sales consultants. That's a lot of sales consultants, okay? And so hiring those people, I found over and over and over the ones that had a job when they came in, even if it was a job, maybe we would consider it a low-end job, maybe we consider it not a prestigious job, but man, if they had a job, they would outperform by far anybody who came in and was unemployed. Okay, one of the things we eventually said, you know what, it was a tough thing to do, but we had to say, we're not hiring unemployed people. Why? Because there's a reason they're unemployed most of the time. Okay. So God's looking for working people. Gideon was threshing wheat for his family when God called him. Samuel was serving Eli in the temple. Joseph was working even while he was in prison before he got his promotion. Daniel was a servant to the king when he got his promotion. Nehemiah was a slave to the king when he got his promotion. Saul was looking for his father's donkeys when he got his promotion. Saul, his destiny was to be king. You know, that was what God called him to be. And Saul was managing his dad's farm, and their donkeys took off. And if you've ever had animals, farm animals, you know farm animals are rebellious, okay? It is amazing to me how, as loving, and every now and then I find myself, I do this, oh my goodness, I just want to walk in Tractor Supply. And I want to look at the baby chickens. And I think to myself, aren't they so cute? And then I think of how rebellious animals are. And it's just, you know, I used to have horses. And I mean, every now and then they're in a good mood and they'll do what you want them to do. But the other 99% of the time, they're stubborn. And if you got cows, thank God for cows. But cows like to get out. You know, Mike and Val, you had one you chased all over Putnam County last summer, or not too long ago. You know, and these animal pigs, I mean, they're cute little pigs when they're being cute, but when you turn your back, they're finding a way out of their pen. Those rebellious pigs, we ought to turn them into bacon. And these donkeys took off. They did what they do. They just took off. And they didn't just take off a little bit. They took off a lot. And Saul's dad said, Saul, I trust you. This is your moment. I trust you. I need you to go find the donkeys, okay? And there's a lot of money wrapped up in these donkeys. That's your livelihood. And so Saul went out for days on end looking for these donkeys, and he was trusted by his father to do that. And while he was looking for donkeys, he met a prophet by the name of Samuel. And Samuel said, oh, by the way, while you're looking for your donkeys, I have something for you. I'm going to anoint you as the king of Israel. He became king through finding lost donkeys. David became a king through tending his father's sheep. Elisha became a prophet through plowing his father's field. Gideon became a mighty man of valor and a conqueror and a judge and a leader by threshing wheat for his family. Okay. Peter, John, James, and Andrew, when Jesus found them, what were they doing? Fishing. There it is right there. That's God's word to you guys right there. We need to go fishing. Matthew was collecting taxes. It was not a prestigious job, but it was a job. God did not call very many people who were unemployed. And you know, when Jesus did a miracle and he healed somebody, he expected them to go to work. You know, the man on the mat who had been there for 38 years, he said, I've been laying here for 38 years. Ain't nobody done nothing for me. And Jesus said, rise up and take up your mat and walk. You know what Jesus was saying was, get up, clean up after yourself, and make something of yourself. Okay? The Old Testament welfare system. Now, you know, God is a compassionate God, and there was a welfare system in the Old Testament. Under Jewish law, under theocracy, God was a very compassionate God. Still, he always is, has been, will be compassionate. But in their welfare system, it was this. The farmers, those who had the crops, would leave the corners of the field unharvested. And they would leave what's called the gleanings. So as you're harvesting, and those of you who have picked peas or picked beans or something like that, as you're harvesting, you're trying to go fast, and every now and then you're just going to drop one. I hate that. When I'm picking raspberries, I mean, I absolutely hate dropping a raspberry. I mean, if I'm going to stick my hand in there with all them thorns, I want it to be, and I get my hand on one, and with raspberries, you have to, with these big, you know, lobster crushers right here, you have to be so careful you don't, you know, squeeze the raspberry. And if I hate dropping a raspberry, because that thing is, my raspberries are good, man, and I hate dropping one. But you're going to drop some. You know what? You're going to drop some beans. You're going to drop some corn. And when you do, the Bible told him in the Old Testament, don't pick it up. Leave that for the poor people. You know what he didn't say? He didn't say, go home, harvest it, do all the work, and give them bushels of flour and bushels of corn and bushels of beans. He said, no, you leave it in the crops, and they can go get their own. God is a working God. It's a working kingdom. Why? You will appreciate it. At the age of 12, young people, you're not going to go to work as a doctor. But you can do well in school, participate in extracurricular activities, and be on fire at this church. You know, I got a list of all of our seniors because we're getting ready to go to a baseball game here in a couple Saturdays, and we're going to hang out together. And I just asked, you know, Steve and them, Andrea and Shell, and do these seniors serve anywhere? I knew a couple of them did, and they started listing out. Like, you know, one thing about you guys, I love seeing so many of you serving in this church. It's awesome. And I'm just going to tell you, that is a doorway to destiny. Some of you we get to see on the praise team, but congregation, there's a lot of these teens that are serving in the nursery. There's teens that are serving in the cafe. There's teens that are serving back there in the booth. There's teens that serve in the youth room. There's teens that serve all over this church. And, you know, this blesses me. That is, you're on the right track. One of the greatest things you can do to open doorways to your destiny is be a servant, even at a young age. And because you learn it's not all about you. You learn life's bigger than you. Amen. All right. So, Pastor Matt, should I get a summer job? Yes, if you're old enough. What do you mean? Well, I know some people challenge me on this, but I think when you can, I think you should. And well, I don't want to work at McDonald's. I don't care. Go flip them Big Macs, praise the Lord. Why? You're going to learn to work with other people. You're going to learn that it's not all about you. You learn to work as a team. Learn to work as a system. Learn that you have a boss. Learn that there's going to be a time where they schedule you don't want to come in. Tough. All right. Let's see. We gotta wrap this up. Let me share this. I want to talk to you young people, all of us. But I want our young people to hear this too. Make a plan. If you fail to plan, you can plan to fail. Habakkuk chapter 2 says, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets. Some of you heard me give the illustration about a swamp versus a river. a swamp has no boundaries. It's just water that just sits there and goes stagnant. A river has boundaries. It moves the water in a direction. And when you have moving water, you can have current. When you have current, you can move ships. You can produce electricity. There are so many things you can do with moving water that you cannot do with stagnant swamp water. A vision and written goals and a plan brings direction to your life. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. What do you want to do? How do you want to live? How well do you want to marry? Make a plan. If you want to make $100,000 a year, and this, I don't understand this, the generation before you, okay, and if you're the generation before them, don't get under condemnation, but for the last few generations, we had many kids going to college, and they majored in something that was completely irrelevant. Okay? For instance, if you have a degree in liberal arts, don't get under condemnation. But if you have a degree in liberal arts, you're going to find that doesn't do much for you. And there are thousands of young adults now who went and got degrees in things like liberal arts, gender studies, and other degrees that have absolutely no practical value in the job market. And then they're wondering why nobody wants to hire them, and they've got $100,000 in college debt, and they're making $30,000 a year, okay? So if you want to do well, young people, you need to ask yourself now, what kind of career is going to pay me the lifestyle I want to live? Now, for some of you, that's a plumber. I mean, a plumber, dear Lord, you're making six figures these days as a plumber, okay? You can go in as an electrician, make six figures. A car mechanic, I mean, if you're a good mechanic, you can make six figures, okay? Sales, you can make six figures, but you have to be really, really good at it. But before you go to college, those of you that are going to go to college, you better have a plan of what do I really want to do with my life, and I'm going to apply myself. I'm not going to college just to party. I'm going to college to make something of myself, and make sure you know what the top end of that pay scale is, because when you're young, Walt Disney corrupts you. Walt Disney gives us this impression that you've got a fairy godmother that's going to come carry you over the edge of life when it gets difficult, and you can make three wishes and it'll all be better. There ain't no Disney fairy godmother, okay? Life is cruel. They always stop the Disney movies at the point of the wedding. Why? Because once they're married, it's not romantic anymore. It's work, okay? And so sometimes we get a bad impression from Disney movies of how life is supposed to operate. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to need a lot more money than you think you are. And I would really, if those of you that are in high school, you need to start thinking about careers and, man, how much can I really make in this career? And right now, $40,000 a year sounds like a lot of money. But when you have a family and kids, it's not, okay? You need more money than you think you do. And I know when you get married, you think you're going to live on love. That lasts 6 months, maybe a year, okay? And then your wife says, hey, we need to go to Walmart. I need some stuff, all right? So I hope that's helping you tonight. As you're packing up tonight, some skills I want you to take away, a positive attitude. All of us, you know, an airplane, the direction the nose of the airplane is facing up or down is called the attitude of the plane. That's what pilots call it, the attitude. And the attitude is facing up, the plane goes up. If the attitude is facing down, the plane goes down. Same is true in life. If you have a positive attitude, you're going to go up. If you have a negative attitude, you're going to go down. Young people, communication skills. Young people, I've talked to this a little bit before, but learn to talk to adults. Learn to make eye contact with adults. Don't mumble when you speak. Smile. Work on your body language. Your body language is 80% of your communication. Have a firm handshake. Have a professional demeanor. Young people, hear me out. Don't rush to get tattoos and piercings. I'm not saying you can't do it, okay? I'm not saying don't do it. But I am saying when you're 17 years old or 18 years old, you are going to have many more changes in life, okay? And what was important to you at 18 may not be important to you at 25 or even 35. And sometimes young people don't make the best choices. And you say, well, Pastor, I'm just going to put a little butterfly over here, just a little butterfly. But the problem is, ladies, you have two or three kids, that butterfly turns into a pterodactyl. Okay? So I just want to encourage you. I'm not saying don't do it, but I'm just saying have some wisdom. Take your time. You can always go back tomorrow and get it. But make sure it's what you really want, because it's going to be with you for a long time. Does that make sense, everybody? All right. So, and don't, young people, if you do get a tattoo, do not put it in an area where it's going to be visible all the time. There are many employers still to this day who will not hire you with a visible tattoo. That means from the hair down to the collar and your forearms, I would absolutely avoid tattoos, because there are many employers that say, we're not hiring you with that look. Does that make sense? And you, some of you are looking at me like, you're crazy, Pastor Matt. No, I'm not. I can tell you, and at CarMax, we had a policy, all tattoos had to be covered. If you had tattoos on your forearm, you were required to wear a long sleeve shirt. If you had anything on the neck or above, it's automatic DQ, disqualification. We will not hire you. Okay, and there's many companies like that. And even if they don't have the policy in writing, they have the policy in action. So please hear me. Okay, I'm just trying to help you. Okay. I need to be done. Need to wrap it up. We've had a good service tonight. Dual ways of destiny. Oh. Know what season you're in. God honors work. He does. I'm not saying don't have fun. Have fun. But work. Know your purpose. Know what God's called you to do. And put your hands to the plow. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you for the blessing of the Lord on our service. We thank you for the privilege of having our young people in here with us tonight. It's a privilege to be their pastor. It's a privilege to connect with them. Lord, I pray this message touches their hearts tonight. I pray for all of us, Lord, whether we're in the season of getting, the season of doing, the season of giving, Lord, that tonight our skills in life seasoning and planning and working have been sharpened in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. We are dismissed tonight.